episode of Conversations with Friends. We're happy that you're back.
We hope you have a beautiful day. And yeah, we're back at recording our second episode of the new season.
Yes, very exciting.
It's so weird because we like recorded them like very close to each other. So it like feels like we're recording them all now, but you're going to hear them in a few weeks when this will be published. So
yeah, and I still feel like I'm a bit out of practice after the summer break. I'm just like having to go back into it.
Yeah, sitting in front of a microphone. We're now filming it as well. So it's kind of like this camera pointing at us as well. And it feels like we're like YouTubers now. I'm like, oh my God, what is this? But I mean, also there's like no perfection anyways. So it's just about like, you know, trying. And we're also happy to be back and interact with you guys. And yeah, we hope you're all doing well and had a good week and can find some happiness in our episodes.
Yeah. But as always, what are we starting with?
If you've all been waiting for it, it was actually funny because Carol's boyfriend yesterday was sitting at dinner and he was like, did you already record the gems of the week? We're like, yeah, no, we didn't record them. He's like, what? That's the best part.
But so, yeah, I actually have a big gem of the week and I've been raving about it. I don't know why.
You don't shut up about it.
I'm telling everyone because it's a show and it's called The Good Doctor. And like ever since I'm on Netflix, I always see this show and I was always like, oh, nah, whatever. I don't like, I just like click to the next one. But then I was like, you know what? I'm just going to try it. And it's such a good show. I'm already on season 3 and there are only 3 seasons on Netflix. And I'm just like, what am I going to do? And it has like 6 seasons in total. So I don't know what I'm going to
really
do after.
I just like saw it, I think on TV sometime, but I didn't know that it was actually that like popular and has so many seasons.
Yeah, I don't know, but it's such a good show. Anyways, to give you a quick rundown, it's a show about, it's like a doctor show. I usually don't like this, but like doctor shows like Grey's Anatomy, not a big fan at all. But it's about this autistic surgeon. His name's Sean.
Oh my God.
And he really wants to be a surgeon and he's like he's a resident at this hospital and it's just like about him and obviously about the other doctors as well. They like get patient, like new patients every episode. And then the way he like, diagnoses them is super interesting because he has a very specific, like with his autism, he has a very specific ability to diagnose people really quickly. Like even if he just looks at them, just looking at them. And then like the way he also is to the patients, like he is just very bad at communication and like showing emotion. So he's like, oh yeah, you're dying. And then just turns around and leaves the room. And then the patient is like, oh my God. But obviously not just like that, but just how he's around.
But do they know that he's autistic?
Yeah, everyone knows.
Okay, because I'd be
autistic.
Like, if I wouldn't know that, I'd be like,
So like on the first episode, there is also like the hospital board, they have like a big meeting and they like decide whether or not he's going to be like a resident in the hospital. And you also like learn heaps about his childhood and stuff. But yeah, I can totally recommend watching it. It's very good. But if you can't watch, like I can't do it myself. I don't know how I deal with it. But like if you're not good with blood or any like graphic stuff, maybe it's not the best show for you. Because you see like a lot of surgery like scenes and stuff. But yes, it's still a very good show. How about you, Teresa?
Sorry, I just moved my microphone quickly, not trying to make you like it's coming closer to you. What is my gem of the week? Yeah, well, actually my gem of the week is something that we want to talk about today as well because it's a book that I don't know if I've talked about this before on the podcast actually, but
I think you talked about it in the last episode.
Did I?
Yes.
In the last episode, but like not in the last season, you mean?
Oh, no.
Oh, okay. Yeah, we talked a little bit about it with Ayul, so that episode will be already published when you listen to this. So we touched on it a little bit, but we wanted to make a separate episode on that topic that she talks about. And it's a book called All About Love from bell hooks. It's pretty popular. I think bell hooks also is a very well-known writer with like, she's amazing. And I really want to read more books of her now after reading All About Love. And she's a you know, very well-known writer for a lot of books, like about patriarchy, feminism, black women, but also like our culture, our society, and just analyzes behavior and gives advice. And just, yeah, she's just amazing. You definitely should check her out and all of her books. And yeah, All About Love is the first one that I read because I think I saw someone talking about it. And I really, really recommend everyone reading it, but also we want to touch on some things she says in that book. It's just all about, like, you would think it's all about like relationships, but it's actually more about like love itself and what is love and like in our society as well. And we, like Karen and I, want to sit down and talk about what love means for us. Cause, in our culture today, I feel like we don't really know what love is. A lot of people struggle to really figure out what is this word love. Like, we all know or have like an idea of love, but what does it actually mean? And it's kind of a lack that we have to cover up because a lot of people have the wrong understanding of what love is. And that book really opened my eyes to what it really means to be in love or to have this like emotion or this state of love as well, and more about like our society as well, because it's also how we interact with not just our partners, but obviously also our friends or community or family.
People around us.
Even just objects or like things or how we feel within ourselves, the, like self-love. And it's a really great book. But obviously since reading that book, I feel like it's really weird. I don't know if I manifested it in my brain or something, but since reading it, I've seen like more books about that topic, and I've seen so many YouTube videos and like video essays about people talking about love, and all of a sudden like it's all around me, and I'm just like watched lots of videos and kind of try to make up my own mind, like what I think about this. Have I experienced true honest love, or am I in the state of finding out? But I think obviously it's really important to first really understand what love means and then order to also practice it, or like try to practice it at least. And we will never fully grasp what love is, but at least try to understand where it comes from and how we can put love into actions.
Yeah, definitely.
So yeah.
I feel like nowadays also, like you said, we still have that like misunderstanding what kind of like what love means. And that's how people struggle sometimes to bring it on to other people and stuff. So yeah, that's why Teresa and I wanted to kind of chat about this, because for me, it's also really, really important, a topic, because I would consider myself a loving person.
No, you are.
So yeah, we wanted to, kind of talk about what it means to find love from within as well. And, like to show love to other people. And, yeah, just, I feel like it's a very interesting topic overall, and just to kind of give you an idea of our, of ideas and our mindset on that topic.
Yeah. We just want to share it and start a conversation about it. Cause yeah, like I said, I think everyone should read this book, or like at least talk about what it actually means and what a love ethic means, and how we live in a society where it's kind of hard to actually, we'll talk about that a little bit later, but how it's actually really hard to form a love ethic because of our society. And we think it's really just important to start talking about it with your friends, with your family. And that's why we do this in the podcast, so we can all kind of open our minds towards it. And we don't try to be like preachy and be like, oh my God, love is this and like our society and oh my God. But like, I honestly believe a lot of the things she says, and like, there's not just one rule and one answer. And just because we say or think this doesn't mean like that's how you have to live. But I guess obviously you're listening to this because you trust what we say. So I hope you
hopefully
all, yeah. I hope you're all interested in what we have to say. And even if you don't agree, we could start a discussion about it. I think it's really why we also do this, to like, yeah, start a discussion, start a conversation, and want to hear what you guys think. But yeah, I think starting off, one thing that's, like I said, really important is to understand the definition of love. I think that's the first issue where it comes to, is because like as we like us humans always want to explain things and want to put things into perspective and understand what's going on. Like, we want to understand death. We want to understand all these things that you really can't understand in a way.
Definitely.
So we create all these metaphors for it. For example, for love, it is romance. Like, romance basically is what we created to understand or give an understanding to love. So what you see in movies or when you read books, and always have these like fantasies about like what relationships should be and this like fairy tales.
Yeah.
That's romance. That's not love. And we really do think though that that's how love is supposed to be. So it gives us like false and high standards that then later on lead us to be very disappointed because that's not what love really is.
Yeah, I feel like often when we like talking about the movie, like romance movies and stuff, like love is always represented as like the most important thing to attain. Mm. And then it's equally at the same time the source of our greatest heartache. And then like talking about those romantic movies and stories, the like true love is always the ultimate goal that you have to attain. And then when once you get it, you'll be happily ever after. But that's sort of, for me, that's not true, you know. For me personally, like love is sort of like a force of nature. And as much as you want to like command, demand or take away love, any more that you want to like control nature, for example, you can't do that. For like, love is always inherently free. It's not something that you like that you can buy or that can be sold or traded. That's what I like what I think about. Like, love is just this like entity that's just in us, and we're all born from love. I always love to think about it that way. We're always born from love, from the love of our mother when we were in the womb, and then we come into this world with our parents loving us. So we're just all...
Not everyone, though.
Yeah, that's true.
That's what she talks about a lot in the book, is that a lot of people are not able to love because not everyone has loving parents, not everyone was born from love, and not everyone gets taught how to actually love. Which I understand, like, I think we're really lucky that we came into a family that was loving, but sometimes I forget that people don't.
That's true. People, like, for example, like, they were not all born with their parents, for example, wanting them, or...
like, some people are orphanages, and, like, I mean, there's someone out there that loves, but that's why even it's more important to, like, learn what love is within us, because we try to always get love from, like, outside, from other people surrounding us, but it's, like, way more important to have the love within us and give love to others to understand it as well, because, like you said, it's a feeling from within, and we can all... access it, even though we don't sometimes feel like it, but we just have to learn. Like, it's a hard thing to actually like be able to, for some people to learn to access that love within us. It's really like hard to understand when I try to explain it like this, and I'm trying to understand it as well. Like, you don't just like understand it from one end to the other, but it's a feeling that we can access from within us, and we just have to like learn to be willing to access that love. And that's what she also says in the book, is that it's not a noun. Like, we always see love as a noun, which it is, but also it is a verb. Like, we have to be loving and like give love and try to see it more as a verb, so then we actually do actions that are loving, like calling our grandma, like even smiling to strangers on the street. Like, that's, in my opinion, what love is as well. Like, trying to be more loving with your surroundings and practicing love, and then we are more able to understand it as a noun.
Yeah, I find it also really interesting to think about that. Often, for example, a lack of love often comes from the way how our childhood went. So like people who didn't experience a lot of love from their parents or from their surroundings when they were children, because in that time, it's like the most important time where you actually develop this idea of love, and you develop feelings, and obviously your brain's in that developing stage. So I think it's really interesting to think about the fact that often nowadays people who didn't have heaps of love in their childhood, they often struggle to, to love themselves.
Find love, understand love.
Yeah, and understand what love actually...
Sorry, I think I just swallowed a fly. Anyway, sorry, continue.
So what love actually means. So for a lot of people, that's where it stems, the lack of love. And I find that very interesting to think about. Because what do you think about that?
I think it's really interesting as well, because we have to like all sit down and analyze our surroundings and how we were brought up when we were kids, like who was surrounding us, and not like in the way of like blaming anyone, like, oh my God, this happened, and more like analyzing it to understand yourself and maybe understand like what you think of love as well. Because as kids, I think a lot of people think I lived in a loving environment, and obviously a lot of people do, but also a lot of people just have care and affection, and that doesn't necessarily mean it's love, unconditional love, because a lot of people grew up in like a childhood where, for example, you had to gain love in order, like if you were a good child, if you did this and if you did that and you had good grades and you had this, and like you're just the perfect child, then you know that you gain the sweets, the love from your parents, and it's not the unconditional love there. And, or at least they don't show that unconditional love to you because they think that's the way to raise your kids. And a lot of people still live in those, like, are brought up yeah. in those environments. A lot of parents still believe that that's how you like raise your kids, that they have to deserve your love, which is not true. You should have it unconditionally. You don't have to achieve that love. And I think that's what, yeah, a lot of people struggle with nowadays, because they think they have to work, have a good job, have to be this type of persona to get love, to get relationships, to be successful, where it's like we can all access it and love should be unconditionally for everyone.
Yeah.
And I think it's just really sad that our society is kind of like pushing this onto you. But like I said, it all stems from being brought up. But then also you can't blame your parents because they probably
had struggles as well. Yeah, yeah, obviously it's like a kind of like a vicious cycle yeah. of blaming someone else
yeah.
for your faults or for how you are. And I also feel like
sorry.
Swallowed a fly again.
Oh, it's really tickling in my throat.
What I feel like is a very hard pill to swallow is that nowadays, like when you think about it, you cannot, how do you say, force someone to love you. You can't make someone to love you, or you can't, like on the other hand, you also can't prevent it. Like you can't prevent someone loving you for any amount of money. So like I already said before, love can't be bought or traded. And it's, we often think about it as like a substance that we can have, like love is this like substance that we can own. But it's also not like a power source that you can own and give to other people or take away from other people. And as well, important to think about, oh my God, Teresa's like dying over here. Are you okay? Do you need some water?
Yeah. I'm sorry. I'm like looking at you, but like my tears come up.
I'm just like talking and I just see her eyes like tearing up and I'm like.
No, it felt like the fly was like trying to crawl up. I'm sorry. We're like talking about love and I'm just killing this fly while I'm swallowing it, but. Thank you. I think it's okay. I think it's like a small one. Sorry, I'm like, I'm listening. It was just like my tears were like coming up. So I think it's fine now.
But yes, anyways, the point that I was trying to convey is that love is this, I don't know, for me, it's this big field of energy that you have, and it's not something that has borders or limits or anything. And it's just this infinite thing that exists in our cosmos and inside ourselves.
Yeah, it's also like the only constant, like with change, for example, that exists. And I think, like I said, a lot of people want to materialize it and want to put it into like this
box.
Mm-hmm. Because like I said, people want to understand. But yeah, I think we should really try to like talk about it and just, yeah, raise awareness on what it actually is. And that's why I really love that we talk about this as well. Because I think a lot of people also understand, like the biggest misconception that I always had, like as well, like a few weeks ago still, that you can like really fall in love and like it's an accidental thing that happens. Like you just like all of a sudden like meet someone on the street. And yes, you can exchange energies and like those vibrations. But I think love itself is also a practice that we have to like learn and put energy into, and we want to choose to love. Like it's an action as well. Like we are willing to choose love, because like actual love is also like, yeah, obviously you can have unconditional love from your parents, but the act of love is that you still have to give.
Mm-hmm.
Like if parents love you unconditionally, they're not just going to sit there. Like they give birth to you, they feed you, they do all these things that obviously also take energy from them. So we kind of sometimes want to just put no energy into it and like expect love and just that it comes to us, and then we have to put nothing in there, and it's just like, oh, I'm like
that it comes, like expecting that it just comes out of nowhere.
Yeah, I meet this Mr. Mm-hmm. Perfect on the street and then I'll fall in love immediately, and then our relationship's going to be perfect and we both don't have to work on ourselves, and it's always going to be super easy because we just love each other. And
I feel like that's also where a lot of like frustration stems from, because you think that you just, I don't know, manifest this perfect partner and then you just wait for it and then you don't have to take any action, and then you're just like, oh, why is not the perfect partner coming to me? I'm manifesting it. There's nothing else I have to do.
Yeah.
And I feel like that's how a lot of people nowadays get really frustrated. But at the same time, there's heaps of variables that play into actually being able to feel love and being able to also give love. And I feel like things like, you know, caring for someone else or feeling affection, recognition in your partner or your friend or your family member, anyone, it could be a stranger as well, but you know what I'm trying to say. And also, you know, respecting the other person, being committed to that person as well, trusting, being honest. I feel that's a very, very important part, being honest and at the same time trusting yourself, trusting the other person, and also communication. We always say communication is everything, and it is.
It is.
I've had a few situations in the last few weeks where I was just, where that kind of,
came into play.
Yeah, it came into play as well, and where I really realized how right it is, that communication with your fellow people, like with your fellows and with your fellas. Friends is so fucking important, and you can't just let, like, all those aspects that I just said, they make up this big formula, like this big formula, and as soon as one aspect isn't in there, I feel like they all have to be connected to each other, and they all have to be in this one package. And as soon as this, like, one is missing, it's not going to be, it's not going to come to fruition, love and feeling love and being able to give love. So
it's not easy. I think that's why we like want to talk about this, so we can all like obviously not be perfect, but try to better us and be better loving people to one another. And I think a lot of people, one thing that I always wanted to put in there is like love and abuse cannot coexist, because you see a lot of family members or domestic violence where people are like, I love this person so much, so I'd kill. Like I would like, or like when people are like domestic violence, when like men are abusing women or other way around.
They're just blinded by the love, and they think that,
yeah,
that is love.
Like, oh, he loves me. That's why he loves me so much. That's why he like hurts me. And it's like, no, if you really love someone, you don't hurt them, whether it's emotionally or physically. So love and abuse cannot coexist. And if you're like in an abusive relationship right now, obviously that's another whole topic, but please get out of there, because it's not love.
I feel like also, in my opinion, that just made me think of it. Often people, they think that, for example, when they're in a relationship or, I don't know, friendship itself, that they, think that jealousy is the same thing as love. So for example, when you're in a relationship and your partner is like really, 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 really jealous, and then they say, oh, he's just so jealous because he loves me. And that's why she loves me. And that's so not true, because jealousy, you can't, I keep thinking about the word. I'm just like trying to grasp the word, but I can't find it right now in my mind.
It doesn't, like, it's, we, I fully forgot there's like a definition that I wanted to read out on the topic of love. And I think that really plays into what you just said. It's a definition from M. Scott Peck from the book Road Less Traveled. And I think that really, obviously, like I said, we can't put love into words, but I think that's one that really grasps a chunk of it, which is the will to extend oneself for the purpose of nurturing one's own or another spiritual growth. So like spiritual growth is like a thing that you grow together. You nurture each other, but you also nurture yourself with loving. So it's not just about yourself, but it's also about the other person. And jealousy for me is like more of like a power play. Like you don't want the other person to achieve things. Like if you're restricting the other person's life by saying you can't go out tonight, you can't wear shorts,
that's not love.
You're not loving that person. You're not letting that person be themselves and spiritually grow together. And that's just restricting and keeping it that person in a cage to yourself. And I think that's a setup for failure. And I don't think that is love. And I don't think anyone should be in a restrictive relationship like that. So yeah, that's...
I agree.
But another point that...
Oh my God.
That fly keeps coming up. I'm sorry. I'm also sorry for that fly. But the next point is kind of playing into what you said with the open communication and being honest. And it's a point of like, be true to love. And that's also a point that I read in the book that the All About Love book from Bell Hooks. Mm-hmm. And it's really interesting because she talks about how psychologists and psychiatrists and sociologists found out that we live in a nation nowadays where we lie way more than we did back in the day. And it's very normalized to lie, whether it's like little white lies, like, oh, I'm doing this and this, or like lying to our partners, to our parents, to like, yeah, if you think about how much you lie, like within like a month or something, like maybe we don't, but like, I think everyone does. Everyone has these little white lies. And I think, yeah, the like lies are so normalized, we don't even realize how much we lie, even also to ourselves.
Definitely. Yeah. And I feel like also because there's this big, like, we're all social beings as human beings, and we all want to be loved and liked. And that's why nowadays I feel like we've been feeling that even more, because there's so much pressure, for example, coming back to, I don't always want to blame the rom-com movies, but then it's like a big part of, how do you say,
how we see how romance.
See, like how we get the idea of love. So, I feel like having so much pressure from our society and from our surroundings, we want to be more loved. We want to feel more love, and we want to find more love. And that like, in order to that, we have to lie, because some people don't feel ready to open up themselves and be true to themselves and to other people. And that's why we lie. Yeah. More nowadays.
Because I was like, when she first talked about, she talks a lot about lying and being honest. And I was like, okay, I understand why we have to like be honest and not lie. But I was like, what does that necessarily have to do with the feeling of love? And she says that it's actually very important, because without love, there's no trust. And trust is like the most necessary foundation of love. And it's really interesting, because she talks about also, and I realized that as well, like reflecting on my own childhood or like other people's childhoods is how it again goes back to us as kids, or us as kids, and how we, for example, shouldn't lie, or like when you don't like you, but like you still lie in order to get, be that good kid again. So like, say your mom was like, oh, where have you been last night? And you were like out with your friends, but obviously you don't say the truth because you want to create this perfect picture. And you know, when you're a good kid, that you'll get things. So like, you just start lying because you know, at the end of the day, the adults will love you more if you are lying, and then you just think it's okay and you get away with it. Whereas that you should try to approach it with more like, I'm honest, like, hey mom, I did this, or hey mom, I did that. But like, if you think about our own childhood, like the amount of times I lied to my parents about silly things, it's just like,
I know.
And it should be more also the part of the parents to be like, hey, it's okay, you can be honest with me, like we can talk about this, maybe it's not what I wanted, but like I just want you to feel like you can be honest. And one thing that I thought was really interesting is how a lot of, like, obviously both genders lie equally. I'm not going to say men lie more, but men are more prone to lie because they are put in this box of like, or society puts them in the box that they have to be these powerful men and like show no emotions, because if you have no emotions, you're powerful. And that's why,
and you're manly.
Little kids, yeah, be a man. Like, and little kids think, or like little boys think, hey, okay, I have to do, not cry, not show any emotions. And then they think I'm strong. They think I'm powerful. Because society, like I said, just still puts that on a lot of men, and this pressure on men that they forget to actually tune into their emotions and listen to what they feel like. And then they just start, fully not accepting their emotions and think of them as like powerful men, where it's actually not powerful. It's powerful to show your emotions. Then it's really hard for them to also love someone, because they don't want to let any emotions through at all. And they're like more caring about how other people perceive them, or like how other men especially see them.
Yeah. And I feel like in that case, they're lying to other people, but also to themselves, because they don't want to completely open up themselves for their real emotions. And that's why, I think it's just so crazy that men, specifically men, have this really big struggles of, you know, showing emotions, because there's this pressure of them to, you know, man up, and man can't cry, and stuff like that. And it's really, really connected to, you know, being able to feel love for yourself and for someone else. Because I think for myself personally, love and emotions are very interconnected. They're both like very, like, I don't know, in the same kind of group. Because if you feel like heaps, if I love someone, they make me feel something. They make me feel emotions. And so if that's taken away from a man, that he can't feel anything or any emotions in that case, and that is also the reason why he can't often feel love, or why he doesn't feel loved, or he's not able to love someone that well.
And also because we have to see each other as equals. Men and women have to see each other as equals in order to have this love. and a lot of men are in these like power constructed relationships where they think they have to be the man in the house and they have to earn the money and they have the pants on and all that stuff, which is actually like so
shit.
Yeah, it's so stupid. And we still like, I think about it, like sometimes, like even saying like, I do that too. I'm like, oh, the man can buy me a drink, like, ha ha. But like actually thinking about it, like that's also putting them in this like position as they're the man. They have to like buy me a drink and they have to like propose to me, and they have all these things that like sometimes I don't even think about it, but it's very like coming from that kind of standpoint of, yeah, the man makes the money and does all these things for me. But if we want to see each other as equals in order to be in love, we should see, yeah, the emotional side of the man as well. They're like humans as we all are.
I know, we often put them in like this like an inhuman, like inhumane kind of box that they're not allowed to show anything. They have to, like you said, earn the money or be the man and just strong and powerful. And I think that's just bullshit.
It's
I love me a man that can like show me emotions and his real feelings and convey them through, I don't know, through his emotions. I love that. And that's the moment where you build up compassion to the other person as well by emotion. Because I'm a very emotional person.
You are.
Oh my God, yes. And I really like that trait about myself, because I am like, I feel comfortable in myself that I can show my emotions to other people and I can really open up myself about it. And I think it's so hard for some people to be like that because of the pressure that's on them by society or by, I don't know, by the surroundings and by the people that surround them. So I think it's very important to be able to feel those emotions and also let them out in order to feel love.
Yes, for men and women, obviously. So
yes, equally.
Get your Ben and Jerry's ice cream and cry if you feel like it.
put our playlist on.
Oh my God, yes. Jam out to it and just be like...
Yeah, crying is ever.
But
really
also
good.
Positive emotions, you know, obviously. Like sad ones. But what's the next point?
Yeah, I feel like this is, I think, I don't know if we've talked about this before, but it's like a quote and it says, in order to love someone or to be able to love someone, you have to love yourself first. Do you think this is true?
I think it is. Well, I think in parts, because I think we go through phases. I think I have phases where I love myself and then I have phases where I don't. And I think it's more about like accepting yourself and not just like, because I think self-love is this thing that like, obviously that's like the goal for me, at least to reach in my life, to fully love myself. But I think we go through phases in our lives where maybe we don't. And I think we can still get this emotion of love for someone. But I think to actually have this bond of love and like form a relationship, you have to be able to also nurture yourself. Because if you're fully broken, like say like you're fully like unable to love yourself and you don't have any, like you're just mentally like not prepared, I think you can't nurture another person, because otherwise it takes too much energy from you. And you think you have to nurture yourself first and give yourself the energy, at least a little bit, so you can give energy to the other person. But also like the other person gives you energy. So I think it should be an exchange of energy, so you can both, like I said, spiritually grow together. So I think saying that like you have to fully love yourself and be in this position to love someone else, I think... it's really hard.
Yeah, I know. For me, the same. I feel like it's half of it is true, because by saying that, you put even more pressure on someone. For example, someone reads that and they're like, oh, I want to be in a relationship. And then at the same time, they're like, oh my God, I don't love myself though, like at the moment. And I'm like, and they think, oh God, I can't be in a relationship because I don't love myself. And that puts even more pressure on the person. So I think it's like in a relationship as well, if you don't fully love yourself, when you say I go through phases, it's totally okay, because like Teresa said, love is about, or like relationships are about, spiritual growth together. So the other person, you can learn from the other person. For example, in a relationship, you learn from each other. And if your partner, for example, really is like a self-loving person, you can, you know, you can be inspired by that, that other person and learn from each other. So, at the same time, if you don't love yourself completely, it's totally okay as well, because it's all about growth together, learning from each other. And you can take away some stuff from that as well for yourself and to love yourself as well.
Yeah, you'd have to be sure that your partner is in a good position as well, because you don't just want to take from the other person and then just like they just you just take from
drain
them.
Drain the energy,
then,
yeah, yeah.
And I think the only thing that's very dangerous is when people don't love themselves and are like not in a good position, and then they start loving themselves when they're in the relationship, so they love who they are in a relationship. And then
that's their identity, yeah, yeah.
Yes, I think that's a lot of people, you see that nowadays. It's like they're like in the relationship and they love the partner they're with, and then it's like they lose their partner and then they just lose
their identity and who they are.
And I think that's really sad, because I think we have to like have a foundation of accepting yourself and being okay with being alone. I think in order to have a good relationship, a good functioning long-term relationship, I think we do have to have a little bit of a base. But like you said, we can obviously interact, like we can try to find love within ourselves from other people surrounding us that have that energy. So it all comes down to, again, finding community, finding the people that surrounds you, so then you can see, okay, how are they like going into a conversation as well. Like, just because you don't love yourself in that moment doesn't mean you will never find that love for yourself, and you're fully just like, well, you have to work on yourself first, because otherwise,
sorry, I can't be in a relationship yet.
Yeah, so I think a lot of people say that, and I do think it's true in a way, but I also think that we should not stop ourselves then from going out there and meeting people and interacting with them, and maybe learn from them.
Yeah, and another aspect that I really want to shine the light on is that nowadays we're so, I feel that with myself often, that we're so critical with ourselves and so negative. We have so much negative self-talk, and we're just such critics with ourselves. It's healthy to some extent, but I feel like nowadays there's just so much more negative self-talk, because, you know, comparison plays a big role in that as well. But you have to be, or like, I really like the quote that you should talk and be to yourself like you are to your partner or to a friend. Like, give yourself the same like amount of love, or try at least, that you give your partner or your friend. And I really, really like
them.
That.
Like, you are often dreaming about love that we get from a partner, and I think you should first start to give that to yourself. Like, practice that love for yourself instead of expecting it from someone else. And I think affirmations is actually, like, I always thought affirmations are stupid, like these people that just write stuff on their mirror and it's just like you say it out loud. But it actually helps sometimes to just stop for a second and say, hey, I am loved. I'm whatever affirmation that is that you want to read. But I think actually like trying and practicing it and including it more in our life and just try to self-affirm ourselves is a way of gaining that self-acceptance and realizing, hey, I deserve to be loved.
Mm-hmm.
But we could do a whole nother episode on just trying to find self-love. I think it's a challenge that we all have to...
It's a whole other topic as well when talking about love. Yeah. But I agree. Affirmations are a great way to sort of build those new like brain connection, like in your brain. Because if you think about it, if you really... do something every day and you repeat it so much, then your brain starts to really believe it, you know? Because same thing with negative self-talk. If you always think, oh, I'm not beautiful, and you keep thinking that, one day you're going to start believing it. So same thing with really positive affirmations. So I know it sounds so strange if you just listen to your, like, for example, I often listen to meditations and affirmations, and you just sit there and you're like, oh my God, this is so stupid, but it's not. It really
helps. One day you will realize that, like, and even like us talking, we're like so preachy right now, like love this, love that. But I think there's truth within it, and like we just take what we need from it, and like don't lie to yourself. Like, I think sometimes people sit there and like, I love myself. Like, don't say that if it's not true, but try to find affirmations that are true to yourself and that you think, okay, you know, because sometimes I feel like it's a bit, you just have to find the right things for you and see what works and try out different things. And I think, yeah, we can all try to learn to love ourselves together.
Yeah, definitely. What's the next point, Teresa?
Oh, well, the next one is a full big one as well, where I'm like, really, I just want to talk about as well, because it's something that we can change as a society, but like, it's still a lot of things that we have to work on, which is the love ethic. And that's something that I was like, what is a love ethic? And that's something that bell hooks talks about in the book as well a lot. It's like, how we kind of live in a society where it's very, really hard to love people or like bring up this love, because we're not brought up in this. We're like brought up in a capitalist society filled with obsession of power and materialistic things. Mm-hmm. And I know that sounds like so leftist, like, oh my God, capitalist society. But like we are, we're like in a society where all that matters is jobs and owning things. And it's really hard to then form this love ethic for each other. Cause yeah, it's just like, we live in this me culture where everyone's so consumed in like finding their own path. And
I feel like also we are fueled by it's a society that's fueled by the ego. So when you everyone wants to have more power, wants to achieve more money and be better than others. That's a very big, big aspect that we live in this like ego mindset that you always, there's like winners and losers and that you always have to be better than someone else in order to feel to get recognition. Then we, like you said, we are not able to feel love for ourselves, first of all, because we're always trying to be someone else that we're not. And then also, you know, being in competition with someone else. So that, and then we can't feel love for other people. At the same time, we can't build love for the planet or, you know, our Mother Earth, because we're just always, you know,
because it doesn't come like if we want to love the planet and our animals, we have to kind of give up our possessions.
Yeah,
a lot of times, and that's what people don't want to do.
That and
like,
also
I don't
habits.
Want to give up like, my Porsche. Like,
yeah, we also yeah, exactly the possessions like cars, big cars that you know make you get like that get that recognition in our society. At the same time, also you know letting go of our identities and of our habits. For example, eating meat or I don't know eating. Not eating meat into like just in general, our habits, our toxic habits as human beings. That's very hard to give up.
I think you can eat meat if it's self-sustaining. If you like, grow, like there's ways to we're not saying like, oh, like
you have to give up meat because you
and like you have to give up everything that you have. It's more like how you think about it. Cause I feel like a lot of people buy stuff to as like a healing method. Like, you know, there's so many people out there who are shopping addicted and like, they don't even realize that it's because a lot of people feel this lovelessness in their life, though they feel like they want love, but they can't find it. And then what helps is they just replace it
by. Oh my God, I just made a really funny noise. Sorry.
So basically, they want to find the passion of love, but they can't find it. So they replace it by passion to possess. And they just want to possess things. And they think it's like a healing method to like own things. And that makes me gain love, which it's actually not. It's like this empty, shallow love that you think you will get. And yeah, and it's like people find happiness in their consumption and it's really, really sad because then they will never find actual love. And I think, like, I'm not saying, like, I'm not like that as well. I possess things. I'm not, like, fully not possessing all these things. But we have to behave more ethically and try to change our values and really see, okay, what do we really need to be happy? And I think by starting that conversation, it will change a lot. But obviously, we're still in a society where it's really hard to do that as well because a lot of things are not in our control. Like, if you look at government and stuff, but we can start and have small steps and like I said, talk about it. And
yeah, and also another very for me a very interesting little like mini topic is because nowadays in our society, and it's been like that for a long time with both like heterosexual and same-sex love, there's always the same like central narrative that prevails, and that is that monogamy is like the standard. And so that means if you find the one, then you'll be happily ever after. And I think it's a bit this narrative is a bit problematic because it puts a lot of pressure on us as human beings because it puts a lot of pressure on us to be the perfect one for the one person that will find us, you know, that we have to be, because there's this like mindset that if you find that one for you, you're going to be with that one person for your whole life. So you better, you know, make everything work and that you have to be the perfect partner. You always have to give the, I don't know, I'm just, this is just my mind flow right now, but you have to, you know, give the perfect gifts or, you know, have a really good sex life or, you know, have to always support them no matter what. And there's just this whole pressure on us as human beings. And that really influences our idea of love and how we feel love, if that makes sense.
Yeah, I think one thing that I thought was really interesting analyzing myself and how I see love as well was that we see love as a drug or we want it to function as a drug, that we like fall in love and then it's like hits us like a train and we're like, oh my God. And then if we don't want that feeling to stop, and once that like washes off, we're like, Oh. I don't want this. Like, once it comes to problems and actually communication, putting effort into love and like a relationship, people are like, nah, I don't want this. I'm out of here. I don't have any fun anymore. And then they just give up and move on to the next person, where it's like love takes time, actually putting effort into it. It takes like arguments. It takes a lot of strength. It takes a lot of bad situations as well. But like, I think you just have to work through it if you really love the other person, if you really want to commit to this. But I think a lot of people are just like, don't want to commit to it because they have other things to go to. They're like, oh, I can just have hookups here and hookups there and like just do this and do that. And like, obviously you can be free and like you can do whatever you want. And if that's the right thing for you at the moment and you feel like that's what you want to do, that's cool. We don't have to say that you only have to find a relationship and then stick to it. But like, it's more like trying to work through things sometimes when it feels right and it just have to put effort in. And I think, yeah, a lot of people are just too lazy nowadays to put effort into it.
Yeah, that actually makes me think of the like next thing I wanted to say is I really dislike the words honeymoon period, because you often, you know, you often get confronted with that when you're in a relationship or when you read about relationships, is that, you know, when you're in the first like year of your or first 6 months of a relationship, of a romantic relationship with someone, that you have this like honeymoon period where you just, you know, have heaps of sex and you love it, like you literally like are glued to each other. And then as soon as you go more and more time into the relationship and you're together for a longer period of time, then that honeymoon period starts to subside and you're not in it anymore. And I sort of dislike it, because at the same time, it again puts a lot of pressure on us and our relationships, because we don't really get a good sense of the effort that it takes to build a good relationship, because we're like, oh shit, the honeymoon period's over. What is my relationship
like,
going to be
like? I'm having sex three times a day. I think this relationship is not worth it anymore. Where it's like, okay, what do you actually want from this relationship?
I know, exactly. And it's also, it's important to know that relationships aren't fucking easy. There's something that you really have to work on, like Teresa said, and because love is not a thing, like we said before, that comes easy, that we just get out of nowhere, like just without working on it. It's at the same time, it's like a fleeting emotion that comes and goes. It develops over time. It gets stronger, it gets not as strong over time, and also feels very different depending on the human connection that you have and the quality of this human connection. So I feel like relationships, the more you get into a relationship, the more like it, I think it's a very beautiful thing that the longer you become, or like the longer you, how do you say, get to know someone, like the more trust you can build, the more connection you can build. And it should be the other way around. The more you're into this relationship, the more you know the person and the more comfortable you feel. And it shouldn't be just the honeymoon period in the first 6 months. You know, it should be the whole relationship. Like, obviously not the whole relationship should be always honeymoon. It's always...
But seeing it as a honeymoon, I think we attach the wrong things to honeymoon. It's like a relationship is only cool if it's like
exactly.
Sex. But it's like, how cool is it that I can like fart in front of my partner? Like,
yeah, I know.
Like, I feel comfortable with it. Like, it's not sexy, I know, but it's cool to share experiences together, buy a house together, do all these things together, share tears with each other as well.
Oh my God.
He does it again.
I just got so scared. I was like, we're being watched.
No, yeah, well, we are. But that's another topic again. But, I think it's, yeah, we don't want to put that work in. I think we should just be more like accepting that there's work we have to put in love. And if you're like, hey, I don't want to put that work in right now. I want to work on myself. I want to be egotistic. I want to
that's
travel and see the
totally world. Okay as well.
Cool, but then don't be like, oh, but I want a relationship. Don't work. Like, sorry, honey, but
sweetie,
that doesn't work like that. I wish it was like this, but it's not. And yeah, just realizing, okay, what do I get out of this relationship and what is it worth for me? And yeah, just being honest with yourself and your partner again.
Yeah, I'm actually thinking about what you said, that love, like we really tend to want to feel love to feel like a drug. I really like that because we want to feel like it hits us like a train, and once we have it, we always grasp for more. And I think I really like that.
And it washes off after time.
Sorry?
It washes off after a time. If you use it too much, it doesn't feel the same anymore. And then you're like, fuck, and then you get addicted to other things.
If you think about it too much, yeah, then it can, yeah, I love that.
Yeah, it's a really nice metaphor to think of, that maybe don't try to be an addict. And
but yeah, and overall,
that makes sense.
But in overall, the point that Therese and I are trying to convey is that, you know, there's no one way to love. It's like such a, like, how do you say, so many different sides and things, like variables that play into it. And there's just not one exact way that you can love someone or yourself or your environment. But at the same time, that's why we record this episode. We want to, we have to understand that in order to love, we have to understand the meaning of it first and, you know, try to practice love every day, not just with our partners or ourselves, but also with our surroundings, friends and family. So, you know, like we already said, love takes time and you have to, you know, learn. It's something that you can learn. You can learn to love someone and yourself. And, but yes, it's a feeling that comes from within, first of all. Like, the answer is all within you. And that's so true. But yeah, try to build up that energy within you, the life energy, the love energy. And obviously at the same time, don't forget to nurture yourself at the same time and give yourself that energy.
Smile to strangers like Carol always does. Back to strangers
if
they smile at you.
I love that. And it's just so cute. I actually had that one day, like the other day, and that made me so happy. I smiled at this girl and she gave me this like really big smile. And I was like, oh my God, I love you.
Like even small things like that, and like find love within like your plans, your cat, your book, and try to like just be like, hey, this is really nice, and give yourself the permission to be happy and love this tiny little thing. And yeah, together we can change our mindset and get closer to a loving society. And I hope you kind of understood what we were trying to talk about and not just sit there like, what are these girls on? Like,
no. Maybe you are. That's so fun as well.
But no, I hope you can understand what we're trying to say. And like I said, always feel free to text us as well. Give us your ideas of love. What do you think about it? And like, we want to start a discussion. We're not perfect. We haven't figured it out yet, but we just want to share
our
ideas.
There's so much to learn.
Yes, we want to share our ideas and grow together. And we love you guys. Spiritually grow together.
Yeah, we love you. No, but yeah, we hope you kind of understand what we were trying to, like our, you know, flows, our mind flows and our ideas and things that we were trying to put down. And obviously, maybe you agree, maybe you don't, and that's so fine. Like Therese said, we're here to start a discussion in your head or also with us. But yes, we hope you liked the episode. I feel like love is something you can talk about for hours because it's such a broad spectrum. But yes, so that's kind of what we wanted to fit into this episode. Anyways, this is the end. And we hope no matter where you are, you're happy and you're doing your best, or you're having a great day and night. And we hope you liked this episode and enjoyed listening to it. And we will see you next time. Don't forget to be present.
Bye.
Bye.